Morning. That's good. It's so good to have you with us on this Memorial Day weekend. We're still in the series Breaking Strongholds, and this is part 5D of Fleshly Footholds. We've been looking at the works of the flesh that are listed in Galatians 5:19 through 21, the purpose being so that we can avoid giving the enemy any material. How many of you would like to not give the enemy any material to use against you? Okay. But it's so that we can avoid the enemy and giving him any material to build strongholds from the footholds that we give him when we fall into the works of the flesh. All right? Let's stand together. Now that you've sat down and are real comfortable, let's stand together. And we'll repeat our Bible declaration. I love the looks on some of your faces, man. You just sat down and you're going, oh, man. Chris and Jess are here. Hello. Amen. Amen. And Everett. Okay. All right. Are you ready? Take your Bible in your hand, raise it up to heaven, and repeat with me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. I will be taught the word of God. I'll boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, let's go. Amen. You can be seated. Would you please turn to Galatians 5:19, and we will read through verse 21. It's our anchor passage for this portion of our series. I just want to say thank you to the praise team this morning. Amen. I mean, Josh is on vacation, and that's good, and that's fine, but just thank you very much. It's good to be able to still get into the presence of the Lord. Amen? Amen. Yeah, give him a hand. Praise God. Praise God. All right. Are you there? Okay. Verse 19. Now, the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, we've talked about those. Idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, we've talked about those. Outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, we're going to talk about those. And finally, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. You know, that last portion of verse 21, I just have to say, and how many of you would agree, that when the Bible says something like, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God, it's time to sit up and take notice and pay close attention, and that's what we're trying to do this morning, okay? Well, now, wouldn't you agree with that? If the Bible tells me, if you do these things, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God, I'm going to start paying attention. I'm going to try to figure out what is said here in this passage that is so important. All right? Amen. Amen. Gary Timmer, if you could come up and pray, I would appreciate it.
You know what's scary about that scripture is that it's written to the church. Right?
I know.
It's not about those outside the church. It's written to the church.
That's what's scary about the whole Bible.
It is. And that's what's so great about the whole Bible. I guess I'd rather look at it that way. But let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Father, just give you praise, Lord, that we can be here today, God, in your presence. Lord, that we can learn more about you, Lord, and that we can draw closer to you. Father, as Pastor West preaches this word today, God, I thank you that the power of the Holy Spirit will just reside in and through him, God, and come out of him. Father, just to make a difference in each one of our lives, Lord. God, we need the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit so that we can make it through, God. And I thank you, Lord, that your word is just coming alive to each one of us today, God. And I pray for just excitement for Pastor West, Lord.
Yes.
Help us today in Jesus' name, and thank you today. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Gary.
You're welcome.
All right. Kind of by way of review, the Bible makes this statement, okay? It says, now the works of the flesh are evident. In the Greek, the word translated as works is the word erga. We talked about this earlier in the series. What the flesh produces is hard and laborious work. It is. And you have to admit, really, it's the truth. A life dominated by the works of the flesh is a hard, hard, difficult life. Amen? All right. Again, the Bible says, now the works of the flesh are evident. This word evident is the Greek word phaneros, and it means to appear. It means to manifest, to become visible, to become apparent, to become seen, or to be well known. All right? Now, essentially, what it's telling us is this, that all the nasty, obnoxious characteristics that you have allowed to hide in your flesh and not dealt with, unfortunately, will be brought out into the open for everyone to see. It will be evident unless you crucify your flesh and bring those issues to the cross of Calvary. Come on, people. Amen? Amen. And so far, we have learned that the first four works of the flesh dealt primarily with sexual sin. And the next four works of the flesh were matters that adversely affect your relationships. Now today we have outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, and dissensions, and lastly for today anyway, heresies. To define the first one, outbursts of wrath, I would say this. Outbursts of wrath are unresolved anger that's boiling inside of you that will inevitably explode and become evident to all. How many have been there? Yeah, how many have been there? In the Greek, it's the Greek word thumos, which is used throughout the New Testament to paint us the picture of someone who is boiling over with anger about something. And although this person tries their best to restrain their anger by shoving it down deeper and deeper and deeper into their soul, it intermittently flares up anyway. How many of you have been there? And when it does, it's like a volcano that suddenly blows its top, scorching everything that's in its path as it throws its load of deadly molten lava, if you will, onto the entire surrounding landscape. It's not a pretty sight. I mean, have you ever witnessed anyone who blows their top like this? You've seen people in the store and all of a sudden they're, you know, and they're yelling and they're screaming. Or maybe that's you in the store that's yelling and screaming. But the question is, how do these outbursts of wrath develop in a person? And what causes such caustic behavior to come out in the life of a Christian? Let me try to explain it here a minute. It usually happens when people get hurt or offended or upset. And rather than take the offense to the cross of Calvary and deal with it there and let it die there, they choose to shove the memory deeper and deeper and deeper into their soul, all the while meditating and discussing that the perceived offense, and they do it over and over and over again. And the longer they think about it, the more upset they get. Isn't that right? Yeah. The longer they think about it, the more upset they get, and the more deep-seated the offense gets. And the next thing you know, that person is inwardly boiling about what outwardly took place, all the while being aware that if they don't do something to stop themselves, if they don't just quit it, they're going to say something or they're going to do something that's really not good. So they once again try to shove it back down deeper and deeper and deeper inside in an attempt to keep it under control. But the problem is, if those angry emotions are never allowed to be brought out, to be properly dealt with by the Holy Spirit, eventually something will happen that will trigger them, and suddenly it will be released again, and people will get hurt again. Come on. I'm sure that some of us know what this is like, you know, because it's happened or it's happening to us right now. Or maybe we've seen it happen to others. Either way, You think those vile emotions are gone. I mean, you've buried them so deep. But if you have never let the Lord deal with them or the situation that created them, they're still lying dormant inside of you just waiting for the moment to be released again. How do they get released? What's the process? It may be that you're with the same person who made you angry in the first place. I don't know why you're still with them, but if you are, okay. Or in a similar situation. And as the familiar, undesirable scenario begins to play out again, those raw feelings of anger and bitterness that were boiling inside of you will suddenly erupt into harsh and explosive words. It's almost as if someone opens a door on the inside of you. You can't control it. It's like somebody else does it, releasing a flood of red-hot, rank emotions. And then they come out, and then they come spewing out of your mouth. That's what outbursts of wrath are. That's what outbursts of wrath look like. Truthfully, it's the way that the flesh deals with problems. Rather than confront the issue head on when it happens, the flesh says, oh, it's all right, it's okay. I'm just going to shove it down. I'm going to put it in there, but I'm going to put it in there deep and keep it to myself. It'll go away. It won't go away, okay? You don't have to confront everything in your life, but if you've been hurt and you're having trouble and you can't keep but thinking about it all the time and you start boiling up, you know, every time you turn it on, every time you think about it, it gets pretty evident eventually that those things aren't just going to go away by themselves. The Holy Spirit is the one who has to chase them away, and he will. He will if you let him. Outbursts of wrath. I don't really want to be known as a guy that has outbursts of wrath. Quiet, Serena. You know I'm kidding. I shouldn't have sent them. Next on the list is selfish ambitions. Say selfish ambitions. The Greek word for selfish ambitions is eretheia, and it describes a self-seeking ambition that is more concerned about itself and fulfillment of its own wants and desires and pleasures than it is in meeting those same needs in other people. There's nothing that fights a servant attitude like being self-seeking. You can't be a servant and be self-seeking. You can't be a servant and have selfish ambition. When this kind of selfish ambition is working in someone's life, it means that taking care of themselves and getting what they want is their primary principal concern. Ever met anybody like that? This is someone who is so bent on getting what they want when they want it, and they're willing to do anything, say anything, and sacrifice any standard or rule or relationship to achieve that goal. So selfish ambitions is a selfish, self-focused attitude that is engrossed with its own wants, desires, and ambitions. All right, in fact, it is so self-consumed that it's blinded. It's blinded. It's blinded to the desires and the ambitions of other people. You see, when someone has this kind of attitude, they're bound to hurt or offend people. All right? How many of you know that if you have a tendency to hurt or offend people, something is wrong with you? Amen? If every time you get in a group of people, you end up offending somebody, you can't say it's their fault. You know, what's the common denominator? You. You. Maybe you know somebody like this. It's a person so committed to their own cause that they just can't stand it. They just can't see anything but their cause. If someone mentions anything other than their own cause or projects, they immediately turn the conversation back to them. Why? Because they can't stand anyone talking about anything else or anyone else than them. They've got to be the center of attention. Please don't let this be you, all right? You may have done some great things in your life, but don't let this be you. And don't let it be every time you get in a conversation, you bring up the same things over and over again. Don't let this be you. And seriously now, okay? If you hear yourself talking nonstop, you know what I'm talking about? If you hear yourself talking nonstop about your own projects, your own dreams, your own aspirations, but you never stop to ask anyone else's what they are, how they're doing on them, this work of the flesh could very well be working in you. But you have to know this, Okay, you have to know this. It's not too late. God's Spirit is on the inside of you. How many of you are happy this morning that God's Spirit lives in you? Amen? Yeah, let's give the Lord a hand clap there. Glory to God. God's Spirit lives inside of you. And if you will yield to the Holy Spirit's direction, see, that's the problem. We have a real problem taking direction. And well, I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But we have a real problem taking direction. But if we can just yield to the Spirit's direction, he will make you into a compassionate and caring and individual who is aware of the needs of others. Amen? Amen. Amen. This is going faster than I thought. Next, we have dissensions. And what dissensions truly are is disloyalty and rebellion to authority. Okay? Disloyalty and rebellion to authority. In Greek, the word dissensions or seditions, depending on which Bible you're reading, is dikostasia, which is a compound word of the words dis and stasis. The word dis means apart. The word stasis means to stand, okay? When these two words are put together, it just simply means this, to stand apart, okay? To stand away from. You do that as one who rebels and steps away from someone to whom they should have been loyal. You should have been loyal to the pastor. You should have been loyal to your friend, but you stepped away, okay? You stepped away. How many of you have experienced a friend like that in your life? That friend should have been there for the rest of your life. You had swore it was going to be that way. Maybe it was your husband or your wife, okay? But they stepped away. They stepped away. They should have been loyal. So dissensions is essentially disloyalty. And to try to explain it to you, what I'm trying to say is this very word, the same word, is used in Matthew and Mark and Luke to describe the insurrection that Barabbas had led in the city of Jerusalem. Barabbas's rebellious deeds deemed him to be a notorious criminal to the Roman authorities. The Bible says he had led an insurrection or an act of dissension, okay? He defied the governing powers. He rejected their authority, and he stepped away from their rule, taking other rebels with him. You see, when a person gets involved in dissensions, they never do it alone. Come on. They never do it alone. They always, say always. They always take people with them, usually gathering a crowd of people around them who are just as offended, if not more offended, with the same established authority. And once the group is formed, they all walk away from that authority together. Okay, that's dissensions. Or the act of dikostasia. Why can't I say it? Dikostasia, okay? It was the ultimate act of defiance or disloyalty to an established authority. It's important that we understand this one thing about the flesh, okay? The flesh hates rules, and the flesh hates regulations and any order that's pushed on it. If it's the flesh's idea, it's okay. But if it's your idea, it's not okay. It's not. If you're going to tell me what to do, ask me to take out. Now, come on. Your wife says, take out the garbage. Or she says, would you take out the garbage? Well, I'm going to do it if she asks me, but if she tells me, I'll forget. Well, some people do, not me, okay? But the flesh simply doesn't want to be told what to do. You probably knew this already, but did you know that defiance and rebellion to authority is also the biggest source of the wars that we have? 99% of the world's conflicts are due to the flesh that refuses to be told what to do and then rises up to defy that authority or the rules that it doesn't want to accept. You know, your employer may have rules that you don't want to accept, but you have to accept them. And if your flesh fights against them, it won't be long, and you won't be working for them anymore. Amen? So if you find your flesh rising up in anger because your boss, or your mom and dad, or even your pastor, if you find your flesh rising up, it's time to examine your heart. It's time to look at what you're thinking about. And 9 times out of 10, The right answer is to remain loyal, okay? I'm not saying that for me so much. I'm saying even for your job, okay, for your friendships, you remain loyal. For your marriages, you remain loyal by sticking close to those who God has called to be with you or your leaders. Do you understand that? Okay. I'm actually on the fourth point already. We must have a lot to do today. Finally, today we have heresies. Heresies, if you want to define it, heresies are unauthorized groups that form out of divisiveness. That's what this means right here. Paul closes out Galatians 5:20, listing heresies as another work of the flesh. In the original language, the word for heresies in the New Testament has a unique meaning that is very different from how it was used in secular literature of the first century. It carries the idea of a person or a group of people who are sectarian, which refers to adherents of a sect, S-E-C-T, sect of people. That's usually limited in scope and close to outsiders, staying primarily to themselves. Okay? Unfortunately, they may stay to themselves in the group, but they don't stay to themselves in their opinion. In early New Testament times, such groups were considered to be unauthorized because they were not submitted to the authority of the church leadership. In today's language, we would label these sectarian groups as cliques. Oh, cliques. Anybody ever heard of a clique? Anybody ever seen a clique? Have you ever just witnessed a clique leave you out? Mm-hmm. Cliques. We've all experienced cliques. We all tried to get into those cliques and then found out very quickly that we aren't clickable. Sorry. Again, these are groups of people who believe or conduct themselves as if they are exclusive. Just exclusive, just super spiritual. They're people who give the impression that they're better or more enlightened than anybody else outside the clique, or that they have a special assignment, look out, that no one else can know about right now. You'll know about it eventually, but you can't know about it right now. Can you think of a better way to leave people out than to act that way? Because you think about a clique in church, you know, people say, you know, I'm not going to that church, it's full of cliques. Well, I can't help it if a church has cliques in it. But, you know, Walmart does too. Sorry. So you might as well stop using that excuse, because that's all it is an excuse. I'm going to read this part again to you. I'm going to say it again. They are people who give the impression that they are better than and more enlightened than anybody else outside of their group of people or their clique, or that they have this special assignment in a church by the pastors that no one else can know about. This is the reason they keep outsiders on the outside, and they allow so few to have an inside peek at their meetings or their gatherings or their conversations or their activities. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. You don't know this person, so I'll call him David. No. There was a lady in the church where that I used to go to, and she had a prophetic tendency, and she gave words, and I don't remember if there was ever a time that she gave a bad word, you know what I mean? But she would give words, and finally she gave a word that was really directing, okay? And it was really convicting to some people. Well, this guy who thought he could speak for the church, speak for the leadership, speak for the pastors, approached this woman. And this woman was just a beautiful saint. She's just nice, you know. Just, you've met those kind of people. You are those kind of people. Okay, sorry. But he walked up to her and he said, You can't give those words anymore. The pastor said that you can't give those words. You can't speak prophetically in the service anymore. You have to shut up. We have discussed this. We know this to be true. And you will stop right now. That poor woman shriveled up, man. And I mean, seriously, she never gave a word again. Even though we went to her and said, nobody said that on staff. Nobody said that anywhere except for him. But she was hurt. And I wonder why, you know. And this wasn't a church, you know, a smaller church. This was a church of 600-700 at the time. And so she was embarrassed. She was mortified. She had thought that she was hearing the Lord, and she was. He was the one that was convicted, not anybody else. So he was spreading what the Bible is talking about here is heresy. He was speaking for leadership. Isn't that terrible? I get so angry at people who speak for other people when they don't know what they are talking about. When maybe it is so far from the heart of the church. But it's in their heart and they feel like they have to get it out. The word heresy is primarily suggests division or a faction or a totally unauthorized group. In this case, that guy was absolutely unauthorized to speak for anybody. Not even himself, I don't think. Because this kind of group was viewed as so disruptive in the early church, and because it didn't fall under the spiritual covering of any church leadership, the Apostle Paul viewed it to be heretical, okay? Or heretical, which means very divisive. He was against such spiritual elitism, and he even forbade it. Let me tell you something. There is nobody here or anywhere, including the pastor, that is more spiritually elite than anybody sitting in a pew. I'm saved by the same blood. Come on. I'm saved by the same stripes. The same body of Jesus heals me. Come on. You know, I am no different. And people are no different, and you can't stack people up like cordwood and say, this guy's on top, and this guy, we are the same. God is no respecter of persons. Spiritual elitism. It's no wonder that Paul, you know, he said, no, you can't do it. Anyway, let's face it, okay? The flesh delights in deceiving itself. Into believing that it's better, more spiritual, and maybe even more enlightened than anyone else. I mean, I pray more, I seek God more, I'm more serious than that person. How do you know? Amen. How in the world do you know? And what makes you think that you're right? Amen. The flesh thrives on being puffed up, prideful, pretentious, and pompous. It enjoys thinking too highly of itself. Imagine that. It enjoys thinking too highly of itself. Think of your thought life. Never mind. It enjoys thinking too highly of itself, and if it is allowed to do so, the flesh will separate into a faction or a heresy or a division or a sect. It will gravitate to others whose flesh also wants to believe they are better than others. And when all that flesh, say all that flesh, when all that flesh gets together in one place, there will inevitably form a super elite clique. Wow, that's a pretty good name for it, doesn't it? Super elite clique, man. So what do you do at church? I belong to the super elite clique. But the super elite clique that is so tight that no one else is able to get into it, and you shouldn't want to get into it anyway, but it looks so attractive because they're spiritual. And you want to be spiritual. And I would think everybody here wants to be spiritual. Please hear me this morning. Never lose sight of the fact that you are part of the body of Christ as a whole. Amen? I mean, we are different parts of the body, but we're a part of the one body. All right? God has not given you, nor has he given anyone else a revelation or a truth so special that it's only for you or for a handful of people. So don't let your flesh deceive you into thinking that you are a member of a higher spiritual class. Don't let your flesh deceive you that when you come in here on a Sunday morning, that you should be left all alone to go pray somewhere or the service isn't going to go right. And this may sound strange, but sometimes you have to tell your flesh. Tell your flesh to come back down to reality and get busy loving and serving others the way Jesus did, instead of loving and serving yourself the way that the enemy does. God has made a way for you to escape. He's made a way for you to escape fulfilling the lusts of the flesh. And it's by walking and living in the Spirit. And taking into account the original Greek meaning of the words, the key words in Galatians 5:16, I want to read you this, and I read it before in one of the other series. Make the path of the Spirit the place where you habitually live and walk. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Make the path of the Spirit the place where you habitually live and walk. Become so comfortable on the spiritual path that you learn to leisurely and peacefully stroll along in that realm. Living your life in the spiritual realm is the best way to guarantee that you will not allow the yearnings of your flesh to creep out of you and fulfill themselves. I'm going to tell you, as I'm looking at these different works of the flesh, and I understand why it can be said that they creep out of you and fulfill themselves. You know, maybe you don't intend it to end up like it's going to end up, but it will always end up the way the Bible says. All right? So this is another place where a thought comes in, and it's not wrong, it's not sin that the thought comes in, it's wrong what you do with the sin once it gets there. If you don't let it come in and go right back out, you're going to have trouble. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Wow, I can't believe it. Next week, all right, we're going to look into the final four works of the flesh that's listed in Galatians 5:21, which are envy, murders, drunkenness, and revelries. But think about it this morning, please. Think about it. Are outbursts of wrath, or selfish ambitions, or dissensions, or even heresies a part of your life? I mean, outbursts of wrath are bad. Selfish ambitions are horrible. Dissensions are just unspeakable. But heresies, you hurt people badly by trying to be more than they are when you are not. If any of you think you are something and you are not, take heed lest ye fall. I don't want to fall. Amen? I don't want to fall. I remember what that life was like, and I don't want to go back there. The truth is, none of these actions are becoming of a believer. And that's why Paul put them in there. It's time for you and I, and I truly feel this way, it's time for you and I to start focusing on walking and living in the Spirit. And we're going to find out what that's like in a couple weeks and what that really means, okay? Why don't you bow your heads with me? Let me just say this, as your head is bowed and you're being thoughtful about this message. Outbursts of wrath. Timing. Outbursts of wrath. Or selfish ambition. Or dissension. Or even heresies. If they are a part of your life, You know, if one of them or more than one of them is something that you deal with. And I'm not going to embarrass you by having you come up here in front of everybody, because the flesh gets active in other people too as you come to the, never mind. But this is about you. If you've had outbursts of wrath because you don't deal with feelings that should be dealt with, especially dealt with at the cross of Calvary, then I just want you to raise your hand for a minute. If you've had selfish ambitions, thank you, or dissensions, okay? Or even heresies, oh God, even heresies, yeah. Then I believe with all my heart, this is the day that the Lord would have you repent of those things and never, ever, ever turn back. That doesn't mean those thoughts won't come into your head again. That doesn't mean that sometimes you might not even entertain them for a moment. But the moment you realize, cut them off. Cut off the flesh and put in the Spirit. Tell the Lord, I'm sorry. I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be that man. I don't want to be that woman. Why don't you stand with me? Now, I'm not, like I said, I'm not going to call you forward because there's a number of people that raised their hands. But let me pray, okay? Let me pray. And you can agree with me. Heavenly Father, you've seen what we've talked about today. Outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, and heresies. And there's been those that have admitted that those have been a part of their life. Mm-hmm. And they've dealt with those things in the past. And they don't want to deal with them anymore in the future. God, I pray right now that you would just remind them to take all of their issues to the cross of Calvary and understand and realize that you have forgiven them of absolutely everything. And they don't have to anymore do what the flesh says. They don't have to get angry. They don't have to get mad. They don't have to talk about it. They don't have to discuss it unless they're discussing it with you. God, truly, truly, you're the only safe place. You're the only safe place. We can have best friends, but God, you're a safe place. Where when we talk and say things, they just stay with you. And then they don't affect us. When we tell them to friends, we tell them, but then they affect us. God, I pray that each one of us would take advantage of the safe place. Take advantage of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and live according to the Spirit and walk according to the Spirit. And by that, not fulfill the lusts of our flesh. In Jesus' name. And everybody shouted,
amen.
Amen. Amen. And amen.